Good afternoon. Okay, today we're going to be addressing the subject about, you know, children talking with their parents, especially about their religious convictions. Their religious convictions and also those of the church. Now, we have a lot of people, when they get older, a lot of them leave the church. You know, I've seen this through my lifetime, where a lot of young people leave the church. A lot of young people end up not believing what their parents taught them or what they grew up learning in church. You know, growing up as a young person, you know, I know a lot of people when I was a teenager, you know, all the Bible camps that we went to. You know, I can name a lot of names of people who aren't going to church today, who have left the kingdom, who have left the church. And sometimes we'd like to put the blame on the parents. But I could tell you for sure that I know some situations where the parents did all that they could. And still, once the child left the house, they became rebellious. You know, some people would like to blame the, you know, church leaders. You know, maybe, you know, they didn't address this subject the way I liked or talked about certain subjects. And that's why I decided to leave. But, you know, I want you to know, if you decide to leave the church, if you decide to fall away, you have nobody to blame but yourself. The responsibility falls upon you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay, 2 Corinthians 13. And we're going to read verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It says there, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize this is about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Now, God tells us here we're to examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. Okay, we got to test ourselves. You know, in Proverbs 14, verse 15 and 16, it talks about how the fool, the simple, they believe everything. But one who is wise, one who is prudent, takes thought of his steps. In other words, he examines himself. He examines the evidence. You know, he doesn't just believe everything he hears, or this person is not careless in their ways, but they actually give thought to the direction they're going to take in their lives. And as a young person, that's what you need to do. And to help you do that, it's very important that you communicate with your parents, especially when it comes to their religious convictions. Just keep in mind as we talk about religious convictions and people falling away, Hosea 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Knowledge is power. We should all seek knowledge. The knowledge of God's word. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But the fool despises knowledge. One who is foolish despises knowledge. Proverbs 1:29. The fool hates knowledge and does not choose the fear of the Lord. Does not choose the fear of the Lord. And Proverbs 15 verse 33 talks about the fear of the Lord is to receive instruction and wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to receive instruction. You know, we must seek knowledge. And that's why that's one of the reasons it's very important to communicate with your parents about their religious convictions. You know, to help you become more knowledgeable. And also to protect you. And to help you to learn the Word of God. Before we go on to the subject about talk to your parents, let me talk to you about the role that your parents play in your life. According to Ephesians 6 verse 4, parents have the responsibility to raise up their children in the admonition of the Lord. That is their responsibility. Let's also go to the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let's go ahead and read verses 4 through 8. This is God talking to the nation of Israel before they are going to enter the promised land. He says in Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And these are the words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You will teach them diligently to your children. And you will talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You will bind them as a sign on your hand, and they will be as frontlets between your eyes. You will write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Let's also go to verse 20. "When your son asks you in time to come," verse 20, "what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes of the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you will say to them, 'Your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all his commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us." Now this text really shows here the role that parents have in teaching their children about God, about his rules. And the ultimate reason why they are to do this is to teach you to fear God. That's their responsibility. They have a responsibility to teach you to fear God. So when you grow up, you will respect his authority and other authority figures. And when you live your life and you fear God, you know, you will, when you die, you'll end up in heaven. You know, that's why God gave us parents. I know they're not perfect, and some don't fulfill that responsibility, but their responsibility is to teach you to fear God and to keep his commandments. Now, of course, your responsibility as a child to your parent, your responsibility is to obey your parents according to Ephesians 6 verse 1. To obey your parents and the Lord. Proverbs 1 verse 8 says this: "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Proverbs 15 verse 5 says this: "A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent." Okay, whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Let's go to Proverbs 15:5 also. Proverbs 6. Okay, Proverbs 6, verse 20. Okay. Proverbs 6, verse 20. Okay. It says here, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and reproofs of discipline are the way of life. To preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Okay. You as a child have a responsibility to obey your parents and to receive their instruction. To receive their instruction. In fact, it says the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. No, to keep you from danger. Specifically, it talks about sexual danger. You know, where a man goes after, or a young man goes after a woman and lives in adultery. Now, their job is to protect you from danger. And that's why you are to receive their instruction. And just keep in mind that your parents, on average, probably have lived 20 or more years more than you have on this earth. They have seen a lot. And sometimes when they give you instructions and to obey, you're not going to understand completely why they're telling you to do certain things. You're not going to understand completely why they tell you to behave a certain way. But the thing is, your parents, they were a teenager once. You know, they've seen the dangers that you don't see. So it's very important that you receive their instruction to keep you from danger, to keep you from falling. Okay, to keep you from falling. Okay, so parents, they have a responsibility to teach you to fear God. And you have a responsibility as a child to your parent to obey them. You know, to follow their commands, to follow their instructions. Okay? Now we're going to talk about the subject about communicating with your parents. Communicating with your parents. And how do you communicate with your parents when it comes to controversial issues? And from there, we're going to talk about some specifics you need to talk to your parents about. Okay. Now, how should you communicate with your parents, especially when you have a question or you want to talk to them about something that is controversial? Keep in mind in Ephesians 6 verse 2, you have a responsibility to honor your parents. You have a responsibility to honor your parents. And when you think about it this way, that, how many of you have ever had to wonder whether or not your parents are going to feed you or provide you shelter? Now, for at least 13 or so years, they've been providing you shelter, they've been providing you food, they've been providing your needs. You have every right to honor them because they have done this for you. And when it talks about the worthy woman in Proverbs 31, the worthy woman who provides for children should call her blessed. Children should call her blessed. Now, when you talk to your parents, honor them. Now, respect them. And keep in mind what they have done for you and be thankful. Now, that does help me out because I admit sometimes it's difficult. But when I think about how my parents took care of me, you know, I never had to worry about having a roof over my head. I never had to worry about what I was going to eat. You know, I never had to worry about the necessities of life because my parents provide that for me. And of course I should honor my parents. Of course I should treat them with respect. Because when you talk to your parents, you know, make sure that you communicate with them with respect, especially when you don't agree and there's questions that are troubling you. You know, treat them with respect. Ephesians 4:15 talks about how we have a responsibility to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15, to speak the truth in love. And when you study 1 Corinthians 13 and when it talks about love, it talks about how love is kind. Love is patient. Love does not seek its own. Love does not seek its own. And also, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. In 2 Timothy 2, 24, it talks about how a child of God must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to everyone. And when you're dealing with your parents, you need to treat them with kindness. You know it's hard, but you must do it. Let's go to James 1:19. Okay, James 1, verse 19. James 1, 19 says this. And this will help you in talking to anybody, including your parents. It says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires." Okay? So when you communicate with your parents, and when you talk to them about certain issues, keep in mind this verse here. You need to be slow to speak. You need to be slow to speak when you communicate with them. A lot of times, a child's instinct is to talk back. You know, I know because I've done that before. To talk back. But you must be slow to speak. Slow to speak, shut your mouth, and quick to listen. Quick to listen. Slow to anger. Stay calm. Because when you are slow to speak, when you are quick to hear with your ears what your parents are telling you, when you ask them a question, even if you may not agree with them, what that will help you to do is to evaluate what they're trying to tell you when they communicate with you. And I know a lot of times, you know, when I've talked to my parents or older people, you know, there's times where I got a subject completely wrong and I thought I was right. But what helped me overcome that was slowing down and listening what either my parents or an older person had to say. And really analyzing it. You know, like we discussed in Proverbs 15, verse 14, where the prudent man takes thoughts of his steps. You know, he thinks. He evaluates. Okay? So when you talk to your parents, have an open mind. And remember to be slow to speak, quick to hear, quick to listen. And your ultimate goal in communicating with your parents about their religious convictions is to find the truth. That is your ultimate goal, to find the truth. You know, John 8:32 says the truth will set us free. The truth will set us free. And we must seek that truth. Okay, you must seek that truth. Okay, so, and also, another thing to keep in mind, you know, when you seek the truth and when you honor your parents, you know, a lot of times we may think that our parents don't care. You know, that's why we may not bring some of these subjects up. They may not care because they don't talk to us about these subjects. But also keep in mind that your parents have a full-time job, and that is to raise you. They have to pay the bills. They have to make sure you're properly fed. You know, they have a huge responsibility to raise you in the admonition of the Lord. And sometimes it's normal to overlook this kind of stuff. So don't think they don't care. Don't think they don't care. And the fact that they are providing for your needs and giving you a home and food to eat means that they do care. Just keep that in mind when you run into this this issue. Like, your parents may not care with what I have to say. Trust me, they do care. And what you'll find out is, you know, when you get older and you look back and your parents told you a certain thing, or you found your parents, you know, they might have treated your brother or sister differently than you. And they had a reason for that. You know, my parents treated me different than my sister. And sometimes I thought it wasn't fair. But looking back, you know what? You know, they would tell me, you know, you don't hit girls. I'm like, why? Yeah, but now, looking back, I appreciate that. Okay? All right. What are some specific things that you need to talk about with your parents? What are some specific things? The first thing I have here is about why they believe in the God of the Bible. Why do they believe in the God of the Bible? I can assure you that our public school system, and especially our universities, have been hijacked by atheists, by people who don't respect God. It's been hijacked by a bunch of liberals and atheists who don't care about God. And so when you go to the university system, I can guarantee you, especially if you go to a biology class, they're going to teach you that you did not come from a creator. They're going to teach you that the theory of evolution, where the whole universe was smaller than a dot, this dot expanded, eventually created the Earth, and the Earth eventually created the first living cell. Then the cell, became the amoeba. The amoeba became the reptile, and then the reptile became a mammal, and the mammal eventually evolved to an ape, and eventually evolved into you. They're going to teach you that, and a lot of young people lose their faith because they, for the first time, they hear a university professor or even somebody in the public school system tell them that there is no God. It is very important that you communicate with your parents why they believe in the God of the Bible. And let me talk to your parents here, about this subject. Sometimes you may not know the answers. Well, if you don't know the answers, I'm here to help. If you have any questions, I can point you to some resources you can go to that shows that there is a God of the Bible that exists. That the truth is actually on the side of a creator. That the statement in Genesis 1 verse 1 that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth is true. Okay? So, let not your heart be troubled. There are answers out there. There are answers out there. I've studied this stuff all the time. I've been studying the DNA in your bodies. Do you know how much information a square inch of DNA has? 7 billion Bibles worth of information. 7 billion Bibles worth of information. 7 billion Bibles worth of information. Now, what if you saw a library with 7 billion Bibles? Wow, that's an accident. That just happened. Would that make any sense? Not at all. Not at all. In fact, whenever you have information, there's always an intelligent source. But these people in the university system like to insult your intelligence and tell you it's all an accident. That it's all an accident. And you don't have to, you really don't have to worry about what they say. Because what they say is a bunch of junk. All you got to do is, study this stuff and look at the evidence. There's so many resources that are out there. And, parents teach your kids about this. About why you, and understand your convictions too, of why you believe in the God of the Bible. Okay? The next thing you need to communicate with your parents about is absolute truth. Absolute truth. I know probably about 50 years ago that a huge portion of the American population believed in the God of the Bible, and they believed that the Bible was the absolute standard of right and wrong. They believed in the Bible as the absolute standard of right and wrong. But now things have changed. Things have changed. Again, in the university system or your school system, they're going to teach you that there are no moral absolutes, that there is no God, that yes, there is right and wrong, but there is no moral absolutes. Okay, there's right and wrong, it's just a matter of your opinion. Okay, of course, there are problems with that. When you tell somebody there are no moral absolutes, anything goes. Well, the problem with that is you have to believe that there is absolutely no absolutes. There is absolutely no absolutes, which is contradictory. It's a contradiction because you have to believe an absolute and a non-absolute at the same time. Well, how do you know there's no... Are you sure that there are no absolutes? Oh, absolutely. Doesn't make any sense. And of course, these people who will tell you that there are no moral absolutes, they'll go around and tell you, you know what, there's no moral absolutes, so you should not impose your beliefs on other people. But what are they doing? They're imposing their beliefs on you. Isn't that right? Telling you that there are no absolutes. Okay, again, contradictory. Truth does not contradict. But what does Jesus Christ say? Let's go to John 14:6. And by the way, this thinking that there are, you know, no moral absolutes has also affected the church and Christendom in general, where people have this idea where, you know, we can, since there are no more absolutes, we can worship God any way we want. Okay, it's also affected the church. But let's go to John 14:6. John 14:6. Jesus Christ says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Acts 4:12, it says that there is no other name that a man can be saved except through Jesus Christ. You can only be saved through the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 14:12. Now Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the standard of right and wrong. I mean, if he's not, then he's a liar, and we don't have to follow him. But he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Also, Colossians 3:17, it says there that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do all by his authority. That's what it means to do something in the name of Jesus Christ. Do everything by his authority. No, he authorizes what is right and wrong. He authorizes how we are to live. He authorizes how we are to worship the true God of heaven. Okay, so it's very important that we recognize that Jesus Christ and God, they are the absolute standard of right and wrong. They are the absolute standard of right and wrong. Okay? Now, another thing that's very important to talk to your parents about is about the one church that you read in the Bible. The one church that you read in the Bible. You know, a lot of people say that one church is as good as another. That one church is as good as another. But the problem with that is, you know, you have all these churches and they teach things that are contradictory to one another. In Galatians 1:6, you know, Paul told the Galatians, if anybody comes to you and teaches you a doctrine that is different from the one that you received, that person is accursed. That person is accursed. If you teach a different doctrine. Also in John 17:20. In John 17:20. Jesus Christ prayed that all people who would believe in him would be one. They would be one. And how would they be one? Through the apostles' teaching. Through the apostles' teaching. He prayed that they would all be one. That the apostles' teaching, which the New Testament, would be their standard of right and wrong. He prayed they would all be one. It was not Jesus Christ's intention that Christianity be divided. That was not his intention. In fact, in Ephesians 4:4, it says, there is one body. There is one body. And in Ephesians 1:22 and 23, the body is identified as the church. The body is identified as the church. So there's one church. In Ephesians 5:23, it mentions that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body, which is a church. Now, Jesus Christ is the Savior of one church. Now, I really believe this, okay? In Luke 8:11, it says there that the seed is the Word of God. Okay, the seed is the Word of God. And if you study Genesis chapter 1, what does a seed do? A seed reproduces after its kind. A seed reproduces after its kind. And if all you do is just plant the Word of God, no creed book, no counsel or dictum from a higher up, no, you just preach the Word of God, what you're going to end up with? You're going to end up with Christians only. Nothing more, nothing less. If you only use the New Testament as your standard of right and wrong. That is, you don't go by a creed book or what a group of men have said, but you go by the Word of God. And you plant the Word of God. You will make only Christians, and you will imitate, you'll end up with the church that you had in the first century. You will end up with the church that you had in the first century. So it's very important that you understand this. And talk to your parents. You know, why they believe in the church of the Bible. You know, talk about them. Talk about that. You know, you also need to talk about, there's other subjects you need to talk to them about. Talk to them about salvation. You know, talk to them about salvation. Talk to them what, you know, why do they believe, for example, that you need to be baptized in order to be saved? Like it says in Matthew 16, verse 16. Talk to them about that. Because in the Christian world, quote unquote, there's a lot of people who teach that you have to be saved. You're saved by faith only. You're saved by faith only. Never mind that in James 2:24 says you are not saved by faith only. You are not justified by faith only. You must talk to them of why they believe, for example, why does baptism save? Why must I be baptized in order to be saved? And of course, if your parents are going to tell you, they've studied the Bible, it's because that's what the Bible says. It's because that's what the Bible says. Okay? Now, another thing I'd like to go into before we close, there are moral issues that you need to talk to your parents about. That's very important that you talk to your parents about. Because the world is throwing out so many garbage of what is right and wrong that is contrary to the Bible. Now, one thing you need to talk about is sex. Okay, you need to talk to your parents about sex. And to understand what the Bible says about it. In Hebrews 13, verse 4, it says, let the marriage bed be undefiled. Let the marriage bed be undefiled. For adulterers and fornicators, God will judge. Adulterers and fornicators, God will judge. In 1 Corinthians 7, you know, verse 2, you know, Paul says, because of fornications, let each man have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. According to the scriptures, sex is for married people. And not only married people, but for one man and one woman who are married. Okay, the world teaches the opposite of that. You really need to talk to them about sex and its consequences. You know, I was fortunate that my mom was a nurse. And we talked about this stuff all the time. We talked about this stuff all the time. You know, a lot of young ladies, you know, their biggest worries is getting pregnant. But you know what you should really worry about if you participate in sex outside of marriage? Sexually transmitted diseases. And there is so much bad stuff that is out there that my mom described to us. And, I can't even do it here. It'll be too much. I'll probably fall down and roll over if I describe these things to you. Okay, but you need to worry. I mean, you need to consider the consequences of having sex outside of marriage and talk to your parents about this. And, this is what I always tell young people. Okay? You know, the world will throw away ideas where, you know, you can use a condom in order to protect yourself. They'll identify that as, you know, safe sex. Well, let me tell you something. There's no condom for the heart. There's no condom that will protect you emotionally. And there is no condom that's going to protect your soul and keep you out of hell. Okay? There's no condom that's going to do that. So you really need to talk to your parents, you know, about this stuff. You know, other things you need to talk to them about is, you know, drugs, you know, alcohol. Parents, you need to talk to your kids about this. And also, kids, you need to talk to your parents about drugs and alcohol. Proverbs 20, verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is a brawler. And whoever is deceived by it is not wise. And now I can guarantee you, I can almost guarantee you, by the time you get to college, and especially if you go to the university system, almost everybody's going to end up drinking. Now, I remember when I was going to school, I was probably the only one who did not drink. I was probably the only one. And the reason I was able to overcome that was because of the conviction of my parents. Now, we talked about this stuff. And, you know, there's when we talked about sex and alcohol, there was no, you know, we shouldn't talk about this. You know, they actually told us what happened to certain people that they know of who participate in this behavior. Okay? And also keep in mind in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It belongs to God. You were bought with a price. You don't own your body. God owns it. You have a responsibility to take care of it. And if you do anything that's going to destroy it and hurt it, you are hurting God. And you are not being a good manager of what God has given you, which is your body. You have a responsibility to manage it, to be a good steward over your body. So don't do alcohol or drugs or do anything that's going to damage it. In fact, use your body to glorify God. Okay, use your body to glorify God. And, you know, talk to your parents about this stuff. Okay. Now, just keep in mind when we, as we conclude, the reason you need to talk to your parents about this stuff is because, you know, there's going to be so many things that are going to be thrown your way. You know, you don't even see it yet. I mean, I can see the danger and what lies ahead because I have experience. But you don't see it yet. But your parents do see it. They see what happens. They've lived life long enough. And if you don't communicate with your parents about these issues, you know, you can end up losing your way. You can end up going to our public university system and end up believing that there is no God. Okay, and ultimately, the responsibility was with you. Okay, you have a responsibility to test your faith. You have a responsibility to test your faith and make sure, examine your faith and make sure that you are in a right relationship with God. And don't be a fool. You know, a lot of young people your age have a careless attitude. They don't care. They don't care about truth. They don't care about consequences. Your parents do. Because they see the danger that you don't see. In fact, in Proverbs 22, verse 3, it says, the prudent man sees the danger and protects himself. But the fool moves on and is destroyed for it. Okay, so, you know, make sure, let me stress that you communicate with your parents, you know, when it comes to their religious convictions. And when it comes to the moral issues of our day. And try to understand why they believe what they believe. And do it seeking truth. It's to seek the truth. So that when you grow up, you don't end up leaving the church. Like what happens to a lot of our young people. But you stay firm. You stay strong. Okay, so that concludes my lesson. And at this time, we're going to offer the invitation. If there's anybody here who has studied the Word of God, they know God's standard of right and wrong, and they understand God's teaching of what one was due to be saved, please do so before it's too late. Also, if there's anybody here who needs prayers of the church, you know, whatever your request, please come. Well, together we stand and sing.